I was riding in the bracelets. They had all around country Victoria, every little town had a race course, and they used to put a race on for women called a ladies' bracelet, and I was just sort of confined to that one woman's race. But the boys had horses that they ran in the picnics, and they had to be galloped. And I used to do all the training work, you know, track work and training work, but they wouldn't let me gallop the horses.
What was the reasoning behind not being able to ride?
Well, basically, it comes from this chivalry bit. The men did not want to see the women hurt. Basically, that's what I can imagine. It is. It's instilled in their minds. They hated seeing women hurt and falling off and all that sort of thing. I got my chance because I stacked up and said I wouldn't ride the horses anymore unless they let me do this gallop on Flemington track, which was banned and everything was banned. I said because it wasn't fair. So I dressed up as a boy, cropped my hair and, you know, cap, and nobody knew any difference. And you're riding in the dark and no one knew any difference. And I rode two horses in gallop on that morning. That would have been 1948, 49. And as a matter of fact, I remember Bart Cummings when he was a 17-year-old lad. His father was a trainer, and I remember him standing. We went to visit the stables, and he was standing and holding that famous mare Comic Court in the yard. Now, he was only 17 years old, and I was 16. He was 17.
It is one of the most dangerous land-based jobs in Australia. Did that ever cross your mind when you were doing track work or riding in some of those female-only races?
Oh, no, that never crossed my mind. I mean, I've had falls and serious ones as well, but that... If you want to do something, if you dream about, you know, got a dream and an aim in your mind, you don't worry about those sort of things. I mean, you know, people get hurt. You can cross the road and get knocked over by a car. All sorts of unfortunate things can happen to people. I mean, it doesn't happen that often in racing. I mean, it really doesn't. Well, look how many people are killed on the road every weekend, 6 or 7. I mean, you don't think like that, do you? Otherwise, you'd never move out of your bed. Really wouldn't move.
You've got to take calculated risks, and I'd imagine
well,
that's what it's
is,
about.
If you are trained, if you are a disciplined, proven rider, I mean, the risks are diminished. You can just be unlucky. I mean, luck. If you haven't got luck on your side, well, just don't get into that game at all. On top of everything else, you've got to have that essence in life, that mysterious thing called luck. Good horse, good barrier, good run. A space has got to open up somewhere if you can get through, and much of it has to do, not all, no, certainly not, but luck. Without that little bit of luck, you're lost.
Well, you're right, you do need luck, but you also had talent and skill.
Oh, yes, you have to have talent, skill, a good horse under you. Everything has to be going for you, but you have to have luck, that little opening, that little break, that, you know, in the field when you're running, it's...
And you were considered one of the most competent riders of your time, June.
Oh, thank you.
In fact, one of the first girl jockeys to win a metro meeting.
Yes, that's right.
And not long after that, you retired.
Well, I was 42 when I won that big race in Queensland. That was the first official race for women on a professional track. I was 42 years old, and some of them were only 16, 20. I mean, I was an old chook, you know. It was only my experience. That's how I won that race, my experience. I had a good horse, too. And then I won, for the same reason, I won the first one up on Cairns professional race track.
Can you describe what it's like when you're in the mix and you're riding and you get that break, you get that little bit of luck? What's it like?
Oh, God, it's absolutely thrilling. The Arabs have a marvellous saying which says, the air of heaven is that which blows between the ears of a horse. Now, that is perfectly true. It's absolutely exhilarating. I mean, that's why these boys do it. I wouldn't say it would be the money. It would be that wonderful thrill of, you know, that last furlong gallop or that last 2 furlong gallop. It's absolutely thrilling, Gay. It's all I can say. It's an experience of heaven blowing through the ears of a horse. It's a thrilling experience, but to get that, you've got to be on a good horse, a good rider, and have that little bit of luck on your side. I think that's what gets them. It would be like flying a plane and doing a dive or aerobatic flying or something like that. It'd be a similar experience, I'd say.
Sounds thrilling. What about the atmosphere around you? Do you take any of that in? Can you hear the thunder of the hooves of the other horses or the cheering of the crowd?
Oh, you can certainly hear that over the last, you know, before you up the straight. You can certainly hear that. the cheering and the whooping and all that sort of thing, that's secondary to that wonderful experience of winning.
Do you give the horse a few words of encouragement before you go?
Yes, you've got to love horses.
What would you say?
Well, of course, you've got to love horses, and they know it. They know it. You give them a pat and hug and say, steady lad, steady lass, you know. They know, steady, steady. You know, they know that word, steady. Use it myself sometimes.
June, it's been a pleasure.
Well, it's really a great honour that you ring me up, Gay, and ask me about all this. Look, it's an absolutely splendid career, but you've got to be a bit of a dreamer. You've got to want that to experience that, oh, that wonderful, oh, yeah, just sheer heaven that you've got on your face comes through the horse's ears. And these magnificent horses, you know, they're like powerful machines under you, these wonderfully bred horses, the top thoroughbreds. It's wonderful. It's just a dream, really, Gay. I don't know.